Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, why more people should have access to financial services.
And particularly now that youth is a very big factor, it is very important that inclusive policies do offer opportunities for all to be able to make a living and stay away from trouble.
Only a third of adults in sub-Saharan Africa have a bank account, and Benno Ndulu says the lack of access to financial services is a key constraint on the region's economic growth. Ndulu is governor of the Bank of Tanzania and a champion for bringing financial services to the poorest segments of society. As the current chair of the board of the Alliance for Financial Inclusion, whose membership includes more than 90 developing countries worldwide, Ndulu has helped pioneer some of the most innovative policy approaches to extending the financial system to the unbanked.
So there is a lot of talk of this issue of financial inclusion, and not only in your region, but in the world. Where do bank governors fit into that discussion?
Well, within the continent of Africa, virtually central banks have tend to be champions for pushing the cause of financial inclusion. And it's not by accident. You cannot have an effective monetary policy without having a much bigger proportion of the population included in the money equation itself. So extending the inclusion of the unbanked into the system brings a lot more of the finances to be influenced through policy into the system. So that's one main reason. The second was simply that poverty as a goal that of reduction and even eradication where possible does require to resolve the constraints on access to finance. And financial sector, by and large, has always been in the ambit of central banks. So central banks take care of not just monetary policy, they supervise banks, and they are also in charge of payment systems. So to that extent, a good number of the central banks have adopted and reviewed their mandate to include financial inclusion as one of their mandates.
So just to get a picture, who is least likely to have access to financial services in Tanzania or, in the region?
First, it's the rural population. Those would be probably the least on the ladder of financial inclusion or the maximum financial exclusion. Then next would be women, and that gender divide is also there. So there's the urban-rural divide and the gender divide in financial inclusion, and both those gaps need to be filled as the whole country also gets better at being included.
So, but do you think that the demographics of the issue are different in the region, like East African region, for example, than they are perhaps in other regions in the world?
Well, yeah, I think partly it has to deal with the cultural practices in terms of what is expected from the side of a woman in managing finances. So those issues we still have to deal with, even as you solve purely the platforms for delivery of services. And they are important issues that need to be tackled.
And, I mean, in your role as the chair of the Alliance for Financial Inclusion, how much influence do you have or does the Alliance have in policies in the region?
You know, the Alliance, to a very large extent, is an alliance of policymakers. And there are three things that the Alliance has made a big difference among its members. One is peer learning. There is no substitute for learning from peers in terms of what they do, how they have solved their problems. And since we are all focused under the Alliance on Financial Exclusion as a challenge, we have been learning from each other across regions in the world, because it's not just for Africa, it has Asian, Latin American countries, and even some in Eastern Europe, including Russia and others, part of the alliance too. This one, two, is peer pressure. We make commitments as a group, and we always report progress on the implementation of those commitments, and countries like to drive each other through purely showing that they have made progress, and the laggard typically gets more pressure that way. And third, it is an important instrument for coordination with other stakeholders, with private sectors, with telcos as key players. And finally, just to say that within the alliance, all members feel equal. So it's really learning from each other and not being forced under any conditions that are being stipulated to do things. And I think that has made the AFI Alliance very special. Mm.
And so with all these other things that are happening in the region, you know, low commodity prices, tightening of financing, there's a lot of issues that countries are trying to deal with. How high up on the to-do list is financial inclusion, do you think?
Oh, financial inclusion is it's very high up, partly because we all know that in order to reduce dependence, you need really to diversify your economies, and credit is an important obstacle to small and medium-scale enterprises that typically give other kinds of engagements. Even the rural areas themselves now are diversifying. It's not all agriculture. And I think the youth population generally, even in rural areas, would like to make sure that they have other opportunities other than those that are purely linked to commodities. So it is important that one addresses the major constraints, which is access to finance and utilization of finance.
It's interesting how you place bank governors sort of at the center of this issue, and yet we hear very little about, or we hear very little from bank governors in the discussion. Why do you think that is?
Well, in fact, when you go to the Alliance for Financial Inclusion, most of the key members are all bank governors, but there are differences across countries. The governors that have decided to be bold in terms of accepting innovation to lead, and particularly the digital innovation to lead in resolving the financial exclusion challenge, have tended also to be more vocal for embracing that. But there are those that have wanted to stay closer to the traditional ways, which is I will not allow innovation until I'm sure there are no risks. Then movement is much slower. Mm.
Is there political risk attached to financial inclusion? Are governors, or let's say politicians, do you think politicians are reluctant to push forward inclusive policies?
Well, generally, I think it's popular. If there is one thing that reduces agitation, it's inclusiveness. And there's no politician that loves agitation. And particularly now that, for example, in our region, youth is a very big factor in relation to unemployment and expectations, etc., and possibility of really misleading youth into more conflictual type situations, it is very important that inclusive policies do offer opportunities for all to be able to make a living and stay away from trouble.
Mm. Yeah. In your own country, Tanzania, are you satisfied with the advancements that you've made in terms of financial inclusion?
Oh, yes. We have made tremendous progress in the last 6-7 years after adoption of digital technology. For almost the first 50 years after independence, we were able to move only to about 9-10% of the population being included in the formal sector. Within a span of 7-8 years, we have increased that almost to 60%. It's really leapfrogging, and it has been possible partly because of the mobile money platform and now doing digital IDs as a way of making sure that one gets access to credit. And of course, reducing cost of financial services and improving convenience. Those are all really important ingredients into the success that Tanzania and other countries in the region have actually made.
And with financial technology, known as fintech, there comes risks as well. How can one regulate that sector without sort of negating the benefits of it?
The risks are there and they have to be managed. As I said, there is a difference in policy stance. Those that want to avoid risk, they don't allow any risky innovation, but those who are ready to manage risks, and we manage risk by making sure that the integrity of those systems is secured, and there are clear rules that are put on the ground on the basis of having learned from innovation and not simply just doing that a priori without having a good sense of what is risky from that system.
That was Benno Ndulu, Governor of the Bank of Tanzania and Chair of the Board of the Alliance for Financial Inclusion. Our conversation is featured in the September 2017 edition of Finance and Development. The magazine is available online at imf.org/FND, or you can download the Finance and Development app to read it on your mobile device. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.